Wow, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That was pretty weak. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We got something to shout about. We got something to praise about. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Everybody say this. Father God,
I ask you
for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. My eyes of the understanding are flooded with light. I believe in the revelation of the hope of my calling. I don't have to figure it out. All I need is your revelation. So reveal to me what I need, and I will receive it in Jesus' name. I have ears to hear. I have eyes to see. And I have a heart to understand. Amen.
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes.
Not just words.
Amen.
That's the confession of our faith. Praise God. Well, let's get right to our weekly confession here. And let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. You know, we confess this all the time. This word is God's power of salvation to me. And many think, well, I already got saved. Why do I have to keep confessing? No, salvation is many different things. Yes, it is the salvation and recreation of the human spirit. But salvation also means healing. And confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made unto healing. Confession is made unto provision. Confession is made unto all the areas of salvation, protection, preservation. So keep that in mind when you're confessing the weekly confession, that you can do it every day, three times, however much you want to do it, just to keep your mind in check. Because, you know, we live in a distracting world.
Yes.
I mean, come on. I mean, the devil's got his gloves on. And he's going for everything he can right now. And it's obvious. You know, I want to revisit some things I mentioned the last couple of weeks. And because, you know, and here's the thing. It's just a matter of clarification, because we all hear things and then we filter it through our own understanding. And sometimes it gets turned around. And so I want to clarify something I said, is that, you know, the world preaches religion. Man's religion preaches that Jesus preached love and acceptance. And he didn't. He preached repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. And I can show you scriptures on that, and I will in a few minutes. But the thing is, don't take that as the fact that God doesn't love you, that he wants you to live up to some kind of a standard. No, the world says that because they want you to agree with their sin. They want to say, well, Jesus loves me, and like you say, and so if you don't love me and accept me as I am, then you're the homophobe, you're the transphobe, you're the one who is promoting hate speech. And that's not right. And they know it. That's why they build up these defenses. If they were right, they wouldn't have to build up all these defenses and excuses and reasons for you to agree with them. You know, it should be obvious, but it's not, because there's a big block of deception that's hit the world. And but Jesus ate and drank. He fellowshipped with the drunkards, the winebibbers, the harlots. They loved being around him because he didn't treat them like the Pharisees did, like down their nose at him. No, he looked at them as people. He looked at them as potential for a lot of things, and he brought that up, but he didn't sin with them. He didn't leave them in that condition, in other words. He went and paid a price so that he could release his power into their lives in a very real way. So, no, he didn't preach love. And he preached the gospel of the kingdom, saying, repent and believe the gospel. But does that mean he doesn't love us? No, he loves you more than you can even imagine. You can, in fact, your peanut-sized mind cannot imagine the universe of love that he loves you with. So is that clear? Are we clear on that? Just wanted to make that clear. Okay, so faithful. We're talking about faithfulness today, aren't we? The faithful will remain forever. Abide forever. When everything hits this world, you'll still be standing if you are faithful to God. You know, and when we hear the word faithful, a lot of times we get the wrong idea. Our flesh rises up and says, God is demanding me to be faithful. Do you understand what I mean? It's like your flesh is just very deceptive. And so you think that he's demanding. No, he's already given you faithfulness. It's in your spirit. Let me say this, and let me explain a little bit too, because this needs explanation. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22, it starts to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. But if you look at it in context, he's talking about the flesh, the works of the flesh, and the fruit of the Spirit. And the translators put a capital S there. But really, he's talking about the difference between the flesh and the recreated human spirit. All of the fruit of the Spirit have already been placed in your spirit when you were recreated, when you were born again. That's what I call the new birth, is the recreation of the human spirit. So it's in there. Love is in there. You don't have to pray for love. You don't have to pray for peace or joy or patience. How many people pray for patience? It's useless. You don't do that. You yield to patience. You know, I was going to use that yesterday when I was with our printing machine. And, you know, I want to take out my gun and shoot it. But patience came through. And then, you know what happened? Is that we just put it aside, went our way, maintained our cool. In other words, we just yielded to peace. And you know, that thing worked perfectly, absolutely perfectly the rest of the time. God will help you if you let it. You know, God is a present help in time of need. But faithful, he's really not trying to demand something from you just to float his ego. Faithful. No, he's trying to get something to you by using your faithfulness that he's already given you. And through your faithfulness, you obtain things from God. Promotion. Your promotion throughout life. Let me give you some scriptures here. In Proverbs, I'm going to just shoot through these, John, so you don't have to really track with me here. And I know you're relieved to hear that. Proverbs 14:5 says this. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. You know, if you're uttering lies all the time, people aren't going to believe you, right? So what's he doing? He's trying to put you in a place where people will trust you. Well, they will trust what you tell them. And when you preach the gospel to them, they'll believe you. All right? So a false witness will utter lies, but a faithful witness will not lie. Then in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. You know, you don't have to just shoot off your mouth all the time how good you are and all the things that you've done and accomplished. You don't have to do that. But if your boast is in the Lord, that's fine. God is good. And a faithful man who can find. God wants you to talk about him to people. Now, he wants you to talk to your problems about him. He doesn't want you to talk to him about your problems. He wants you to talk to the mountain. He wants you to talk to the tree, the sycamine tree, right? Faithful man who can find, because most people will give up when they don't see the tree die or the mountain move. Sometimes it takes a while. It takes faithfulness. 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 Proverbs chapter 25, verse 13 says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. You want to bless God? Be faithful. And you know what? When God's blessed, you're blessed. I remember Andrew Womack shared it this week. I was watching him. He's talking about eternal life, what we were talking about last week. And he said there was one time he brought his kids out. His kids were like 7, 8 years old at the time, and brought them fishing. They saw wildlife. They had it was exciting. They had an amazing time. And they ate junk food and, you know, everything they wanted to do. Just had a good, and at the end of the day, he came home and the kids went to bed, and his older son, Peter, said, Dad, he said, yeah, you're a good dad. You tell God he's a good God. Tell God he's a good father. And just bless him and bless him. I'm telling you, it'll work. You're not blessing him to get something out of him either. You're blessing him because he is good. It's a fellowship that you have.
Hallelujah.
It's not a, you know, it's just an expression of your heart. And it will bless you. You will be blessed. And then in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20, it says, a faithful man shall abound in blessings. How many of you are abounding blessings? I mean, I'm talking abundant, like you can't see the end of it. That's what that word means. A faithful man shall abound in blessings, but he that makes haste to be rich. See, don't chase the riches. Chase God. Yeah. Follow, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Man, I'll tell you something. Faithfulness is a good thing. It's a good thing. Now, there is another one here I forgot to tell you. In Proverbs 25, verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Well, that's pretty descriptive, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, if you're faithful and you are faithful to God, you will love people, but you won't be gullible. Love believes all things, but you won't be gullible, because faithfulness is a true faithfulness, and you'll be able to sense unfaithfulness in people. So confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like, you'll save yourself. By cultivating faithfulness in your own life, you will save yourself from a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Amen?
Amen.
Enough said? We got to see ourselves through his eyes. And when you see yourself through his eyes, you're seeing yourself through his word, what he has already said about you. When he's given you his word, he's given you his eyes. You know, and eyes to see come, you know, I think every father wants his children to see things, to see life through his eyes, to see themselves through his eyes, through his experience, through his wisdom, and through his understanding. Every father has that desire for their kids. And I think that was how stories and storytelling was actually birthed. To give them a better picture of how he sees them and how they can see life, how they can see others. Isn't that good?
Awesome.
That's why Jesus spoke in parables, stories that draw pictures and tell them how good God is. In faithfulness lies our promotion, plural, our promotions through life. Faithful. You've been promoted to this position because you were faithful in less, so you're given more. And then you're faithful in that, then you're given more and more and more. You know, he said that you were faithful in that which is least, I will make you ruler over much. God has a big vision for your life. And it's not just one little victory here and one little victory. No, get bigger than that. Because all of these blessings that you experience and the harvest that you experience in this life will follow you into eternity, and they will be by boom, and give you an inheritance that's unbelievable. That you can't even see it now. In Luke 16, I got this here too. I don't know if I put this in there, John, but Luke 16, verses 10 and 11 says this: He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. You know, so many times I've heard, you know, Pastor, I'll give you a nice gift when it comes in. No, you won't. If you don't do it when you have a little, you're not going to do it when you have a lot. Because your mind will start working, oh, now I can do a lot more with this stuff. See, you got to get out of the way of your own future and be faithful to God and let Him give you a great name. Let Him give you a great future. Let Him bless you. And then you know it's God's, and nothing will satisfy you more than that.
Amen.
Than knowing that it came from God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. You know, and all that you have in the world, it doesn't mean anything if you got it yourself. Faithfulness, and then it says this: and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Why? Because faithfulness is who you are. Unfaithfulness and unjust is who you are, because that comes out in your actions. If therefore, verse 11 says, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? There are true riches that exceed the riches of this earth. You know what God considers the true riches? Phil, Lynn, Nathaniel, you guys are the true riches. You're why this all is. Paul said, all things work for your sake, not ours.
Amen.
Amen. I won't belabor the point, but turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. And such a nice guitar. I look over there at that guitar, I just want to pick it up and play it. Okay, Matthew chapter 13 and we'll start in verse 24. It says, another parable. Remember, this is a story. He's trying to get something over to these people. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Tares are weeds, in case you don't know. They look like wheat, but they're not. They're weeds. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in the field? From where then has it tares? In other words, where did these tares come from? And verse 28 says, he said to them, an enemy has done this. You know, you need to know the tactics of the enemy. An enemy has done this. The servants said to him, will you then that we go gather them up? He said, no, lest while you gather the tares up, you root up also the wheat. Let them both grow together until harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. This is a big, big parable here. You know, it says, while men slept. You got to pay attention. You know, how can his enemy go through an entire field of wheat and sow tares in that entire, I mean, think of it, without being noticed? You got to be on guard. You got to have things in place in your life to alert you that this is an enemy coming in. He's trying to steal from me. He's trying to steal my harvest. He's trying to steal my goods. You know, the devil wants to come in and eat your lunch and pop the bag. He just does. How can that happen with a whole field of wheat while men slept? They weren't paying attention. They didn't have the right pillars in place in their life. And you know, there are pillars that you need to have erected in your life. We are living in a world that is just full of distraction, vying, it's smoke and mirrors, vying for your attention. And it's ripping you off. and it's stealing your good seed that you've sown. It's stealing and it's ruining your entire crop. An enemy has done this. You know, and then in verse 29, he said, don't gather them up to, gather, while you gather up the tares, you'll tear up the root. Let them grow together and then we'll divide them at harvest. There's a reason why God lets things go on. Because the thing is, if he came in and started doing stuff, it might uproot your progress. So your job is to remain faithful. You may be at work and you may be surrounded by the worst backstabbers, climbers trying to climb over you and get promotions, people lying about you, people walking into stuff. You may be in a twisted mess. But your job is not to say, oh, poor me. Your job is to remain faithful to him and be that shining light for him. And then when the harvest comes, you can say, I told you so. You will be promoted and they won't. Don't think this. God knows your heart. God knows where you are. He knows what they're doing. Just walk with God and you can laugh with him. And when things look bad, like somebody just got promoted over you who doesn't deserve it, don't let pride fill your heart and say, well, I deserve that. They got that. And then get an attitude. No, you're bigger than that. Why? Because God sees their end and he laughs. But you stand patient and faithfully rooted in God, rooted in his word, rooted in the field that he's planted you in. Amen. And you will produce the same. You will reproduce the seed that is in you. And you are the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
That's a big statement. So if you remain faithful, look, he knows that situation that you're in. Therefore, he's already equipped you to handle it.
Right.
He's equipped you to stand in it. He's equipped you to be faithful. He's equipped you for all of this. He's not telling you to do something he's not already giving you the power to do. You know, it would be one thing if God demanded faithfulness of you without being faithful himself. But God is faithful. He is known throughout the entire universe for his faithfulness. If there was any question about God's faithfulness, he wouldn't be God. Hello? God is faithful. And so because he's faithful and you walk in faithfulness, you know what you have? You have agreement with heaven and earth, and his word is settled forever in heaven. When you walk in faithfulness and in agreement with God, you are agreeing and releasing his power in your life, which is more explosive than anything the devil's got. In fact, he'll back away. Let's go to verse 36. The parable of the sower is explained here because what happened was he gave this parable, and then when he got back into the house in Capernaum, Jesus had a big house in Capernaum, by the way.
Amen.
Amen. He had a big house. And the thing, where do you think that gold and frankincense and myrrh, that riches that was delivered to him at birth, what do you think he did with that? Mm-hmm. He funded his headquarters and his ministry right out of Capernaum. You read the Gospels, it'll draw you a picture for it. But it says, Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came and said, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Now that sounds like, declare unto us. No, they're saying, can you explain that to us? He said, sure. Now, let's look at that verse. Verse 36. Declare unto us the parable of the what?
Tares.
Where was their focus? Was it on the wheat?
Yes.
It was on the tares. You got to watch your focus. What are you focusing on, the problems or the answers? The problems are the solutions. Is this talking to you?
Yes.
Just let that sit there for a minute. Where are you looking? The more you look at the problem, the bigger it gets.
Right.
The more you meditate day and night on the answer, on the truth,
amen,
the freer it will make you.
Glory to God.
And the bigger God becomes. Jesus went to the and went into the house and said, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. In other words, the Son of Man came speaking, preaching the kingdom, gospel of the kingdom of God. He said, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's you. Say this, I am
the child
of the kingdom.
His kingdom.
you're a child of the kingdom.
Amen.
The children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. You know, the people who are not born again are of the wicked one. Jesus even told the Pharisees, he says, you are of your father, the devil. The reason Jesus came here is to get people delivered from that. Delivered from the devil. They were already under condemnation. He came to give them life, eternal life. But the tares are the children of the wicked. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. He explains the whole thing. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels, like Dwight's been teaching us. Angels, bring in my harvest. Angels are the reapers. But they need words to work with.
Yes.
Because money doesn't come from heaven. It's here on the earth. You need help to unlock the pockets where the devil has tied that money up, tied up your harvest, sown tares and those certain things. And it's coming. Don't think because you haven't received the harvest, it hasn't come. No, maybe we're waiting till harvest time to get the wheat and the tares separated so that you can get a clean harvest. Verse 40, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels and shall gather out of his kingdom all that offend. Woo. Look at that. The Son of Man shall send, they shall gather out of his kingdom all that offend and those who do iniquity. That's a big statement. You need to put guards in place. You need to understand something. God means business. And sin is a ripoff. When you do iniquity, you're playing with fire. Let's put it that way. Verse 42. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and weeping, gnashing of teeth. There is a reality of judgment. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I think it's like verse 30, 31, something like that. It says, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. Is that New Testament? There are Christians who think that Christians cannot be judged. Well, if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. You have that luxury and you have that right to judge yourself, but there is a reality that, so keep that in mind next time you're tempted. Just say that's a trap. Verse 43 says, and this is us, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, you have ears to hear? Then hear it. Listen to it. Understand it. Understand it. Here's a definition of faithful. Being consistent with truth or actuality. Being consistent with truth. In other words, truth is the word of God. Jesus said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Being consistent with truth is being consistent with what God says about you. Let that sink in. It also means having or full of faith. Faithfulness means full of faith. Synonyms, loyal, true, constant, consistent, steadfast, staunch. In the old King James, staunch means like a stance that you take, that you're rooted in a certain stance and you will not be moved. Having a strong or substantial construction or constitution, what something is made of. Faithfulness and wisdom are also linked together too in the Bible. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. And verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country." All these are parables on faithfulness and being wise. "For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered them his goods." Excuse me. "And unto one he gave 5 talents, unto another 2, and to another 1. And to every man," I'm sorry, "and unto one he gave, and unto every man according to his several ability." In other words, God has given gifts in the church according to your ability to operate in them. That's the way I'm translating this. Talents. Gifts. "And he that received 5 talents, this is referring to money, went and traded with the same and made 5 other talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 talent, he dug a hole in the earth and hid the Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more.' And the Lord said, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" Good and faithful servant. "You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Amen. 2. Verse 22, "He also that received 2 talents said, 'Lord, you've delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained another 2 talents beside them.' The Lord said, 'Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" You know, we think about our harvest being, okay, I'm sowing my seed, I'm looking for 30, 60, 100-fold return. It doesn't stop there. The fact that you get the 30, 60, or 100-fold, the fact that you get a harvest, God adds to it his blessing and gives, he makes you ruler over much.
Hallelujah.
We got to take the cap off of this thing. It's not just your seed yielding a harvest. It's that pleases God.
Amen.
And when God is pleased, he blesses you. And the thing is, then he promotes you.
Praise the Lord.
And you get so much more.
Amen.
Is this opening up to you the way it is me?
Lord.
Let's look at verse 24. "Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I know you. You're a hard man, reaping where you haven't sown, gathering where you put us to the grindstone here and you expect more. Da, da, da.' And I was afraid." Oh, fear will paralyze you. It'll rip your harvest off. Fear will stop you from doing what God wants. And fear will make you be lazy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
"I was afraid and hid the talent in the earth. Here, take what's yours." How many of you know that did not please the Lord? "Lord answered him and said, 'You wicked and slothful servant. If you knew this, that I reap, that I sowed, and I gather, at least you could have brought my money to the exchangers, and at my coming I should receive at least interest," usury, interest. Verse 28, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it." Now look. If you're harvesting and you got your 36, not only will God add his blessing to it, he'll take the lazy ones and give what they didn't get and give it to you too.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
How's that for a harvest, Izzy? Witty inventions. For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even which he has. You know why? Because the devil stole it. The devil stole it. How? He ministered fear to this guy, a bad attitude towards his Lord. He got this guy to bite the bait and to just bury his talent. And what happened was he got ripped off. See, Jesus used this statement a lot of times, and he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And in the same parable in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then it says later on in the same chapter, he said, whoever has shall be given more. What does that mean? Has what? Ears to hear. Because if you don't understand it, the devil will come and steal it. How does he steal it? By making you fearful, making you cautious. You're not going to do this. When problems come up, you pull back rather than open up. You're doing the exact thing he wants you to do. This is where the kingdom of God operates. So don't lose it. Don't lose what you, use what you got.
Amen.
Faith, 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 just a little faith. You don't need a lot. Use what you got. Faith, 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 just a little faith. Praise God. I hope you're getting something out of this. I'm glad I came this morning. See, when you see yourself through God's eyes, you're not going to see the problems as problems. You're going to see yourself like God sees you. And you are not going to be limited. You're not going to have to reap the benefits or the lack thereof of, you're not going to say, oh, poor little me. You're going to say, praise God. Look at this. Look at what I get to overcome.
Praise God.
You know, the testing of your faith, the trying of your faith. It's not you. The trying of your working of your faith produces endurance.
Amen.
And you will be standing when everybody else falls. See yourself through his eyes. You're going to see a very bright future. You're going to see a very pregnant opportunity here.
Amen.
Amen? Yes. See yourself through his eyes. You won't see your situation or any situation as hopeless or irredeemable. How many times have you been in a place where you say, oh, what am I going to do now? And the devil heaps a lot of logs on that fire. Yeah. What are you going to do? 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 Let me paint a picture for you, Charlie. Here's what's going to happen to you. You need to tighten up those purse strings. You need to, you need to be careful. Don't leave the house because there might be, if you get 5 feet from people, 6 feet from people or something, but if you get 5 feet, 10 inches, you're going to get the virus. So you gotta stay inside. You can't. And then Fauci, I mean, he was lying to them all. And then he said, one time he says, we shouldn't even shake hands anymore with anybody. We shouldn't do that. Then the very next week, you know what he said? He said, yeah, casual sex is okay. This is the very next week after he first said that. You talk about a perverted, out of joint, broken tooth. Say, I didn't mean that. Yes, I did. Because he is a liar, and when he speaks a lie, he's speaking the language of the devil. He is a liar and the father of it, and all of the children of this world, the kingdom of darkness, are speaking those lies, and you don't have to believe it. You've got a higher truth than anything that they're speaking. You know, I didn't wear masks. They threw me out of stores. I didn't care. This is their loss. Because what happens, immediately we got the right information. And we're on Rumble now. I got kicked off of YouTube because of this. Thank God. That's a badge of honor, actually. But Where was I going with that? Yeah, I got thrown out. But you know what? I never got the virus. You know why? Because I'm breathing in the good bacteria that builds up your immune system. Right? And the masks stop you from that. That's why they put masks on the kids and everything. This was a population control thing. This was a power play. And you know, and if you agree with this or not, I don't care. I can't tell you how much I don't care. Because it was all founded, most of that stuff was founded on a lie. Was the virus real? Yeah. But you know, if you wear a mask, the average cross stitch in a mask is 500 milligrams or millimeters. Yeah. The COVID spore is 20 millimeters. It's like building a chain link fence to keep out mosquitoes. It was worthless and they knew it, but they were selling you that. Okay. Yeah. Like what was Dwight saying earlier, what does the world want? Money. They'll use every opportunity to tie your hands behind your back and say, believe this. We're going to make you.
Amen.
See why faithfulness is so important to God. See why faith pleases God? Because it creates an atmosphere for him to operate his faith through you and produce in you what he really wants to give you. He wants to fulfill his love in you. He wants to fulfill and be a place where his peace can exude onto a tragically manipulated world. That world is ruled by the devil. He's not interested in governing. There are there's a few presidents recently in this country. They weren't interested in governing. They wanted to rule. They wanted to take over the healthcare system. You know what that does? It eliminates competition. And then the government gets to tell you what you're going to pay for health insurance. And meanwhile, the elite get richer and richer at your expense. Telling you, is this a political rally? No, this is pure truth. I'm telling you the truth. This is where it is. This is the plots of the enemy to take over a free nation with a free market system. Amen. And it's not a conspiracy theory either. Who was that who sent? Was that you, Evie? Sent this that Noah was a conspiracy theorist, and then it rained. Evie sent that to me. That was a good one. Faithfulness. You know what? Throughout the annals of his word, God has recorded, made a record, and preserved the names of those who were faithful to him. Unbelievable. Uriah. Do you know, in the lineage of Jesus, this is how you know Bathsheba was out on that roof for a reason. God saw right through it. David didn't. He was taken by her. But in the lineage of Jesus, it says Uriah in there of her who was the wife of David. And in the lineage, it didn't mention Bathsheba, but it mentioned Uriah. He was a faithful man. If you know the story, you look up Uriah. There are others here. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21, it says, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do. Paul relied on this guy Tychicus to tell him exactly what was going on and how well Paul's doing. In how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. He committed his trust to faithful men. Colossians 1:7, and you also learned from Epaphras, that's a tongue twist, Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. These people are logged in the new covenant. Colossians 4:7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord. Don't think for one second that God doesn't see your faithfulness. And when you get when you get hit in the face or slapped around in this dark world because you are faithful, God sees it. Don't worry about it. He'll reward you. He'll promote you. Colossians 4:9 says, with Onesimus, so Tychicus and Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit you to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is passing the baton down to the next generation too. Just like God always looking for faithful men, we're always looking for faithful men who can preach the same thing, who can teach the same thing that we're teaching and carry it on. And it's not about us. It's about how this word is preserved and how it is protected in the vessels of honor and the faithful vessels that he chooses to give. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. In all things it behooved him, Jesus, to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Faithfulness. He was faithful to his Father to do what he had to go do. That's what Palm Sunday's all about, when that dusty road turned towards the cross and it was getting intense. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house, and he is still faithful. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he's what? If you confessed your sins and God didn't forgive you, he would not be a faithful God. He would be an unjust God. But he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what?
Cleanse us
from all unrighteousness. Receive a cleansing. Put it away. Put it away. In Revelation, he talked to the churches about stay faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Look, this life is a breath. It's nothing compared to eternity. Yeah, go ahead, build, and multiply, and so forth, and do all of that. But consider the source. Consider your source, and be faithful to the word that he sent you to work it, and to know that God is working with you, and you're working with God in building this thing together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. He is faithful. He is faithful. And when you're faithful, you're walking in agreement with the greatest power, the greatest person, the most magnificent and beautiful being that there is, that you'll spend eternity with. Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and a whole company that is there rooting for you right now. Praise God. Amen? All right. Father, we thank you for being faithful to your word. We thank you, Father, for the fruit of the Spirit that you have placed in us, that the seeds of life are in those fruit that you have placed in us, and they will reproduce. We thank you, Father, that we don't have to try to be faithful, that we just yield to your faithfulness. We thank you, Father, that you are more than able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Therefore, we don't give up, but we remain faithful to what you have called us to. We remain faithful. You know, I never like to close a service without giving an opportunity to receive Jesus, or just to renew a right heart and a right relationship with him, and to put the past behind. So declare this with me. Father, I've fallen short. I've done it on purpose. I've done it by accident. I ask your forgiveness.
I believe
that the blood cleanses me from all unrighteousness. That the blood provides forgiveness for me. I take forgiveness now. I apply your forgiveness now to my sins. And I ask you to give me wisdom and revelation, to flood my eyes with light, the eyes of my understanding, so that I can know what I've been called to, the purpose I have in life, the direction I should go, knowing that I have an inheritance that I can tap into with my faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And if you've never really received Jesus,